Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What signs are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sire, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of he who sent me. And this is the will, and I shall lose nothing of at all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal light. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think we all know how important bread is. I love bread, and I've stopped eating a lot of the bread that I used to. But when I go down to the bread shop in the village, in Arnagbeth Road, or to Asda or Sainsbury's or wherever, the variety of bread that is on offer for us is really amazing. And when I used to go on holiday to France, one of our favourite lunches was to buy a French stick and have some pâté and some ham and just sit and take it all and just something very simple and basic like that. And bread is really important to us. And Jesus uses the image of bread and the idea of bread quite a lot during the readings that we've had over the last few weeks. And this morning he refers back to the Israelites in the wilderness, which we heard about a few weeks ago. And in the book of Exodus, it describes how God provided bread for the people of Israel. It was called literally manna, which means what is it? Because they didn't know. God gave this to the Israelites on a daily basis in response to the complaints that they would have been better staying in Egypt, where at least as slaves, if they'd died, they would have died without being hungry. It's one of the many examples in Exodus of the ungratefulness of the Israelites to God for bringing them out of Egypt, because they complained at the crossing of the Red Sea that Moses has brought them out of Egypt only to give them death in the wilderness. When they were camping in the wilderness at a place called Marah, they complained that there was nothing for them to drink, and Moses provided them with sweet water. And now again, on the way to Sinai, they complained that they have no food. We'd rather be back in Egypt, they're saying. We'd rather have it hard, but at least we weren't hungry. And of course, I don't think they really did want to be back in Egypt. They just wanted life to be a bit easier. And what they forgot to do was to trust in God, which is very easy to do when things aren't going right for us. And so, for this reason, God sends them manna. And apparently this still appears in the wilderness, in the deserts of Israel today. It's a mixture of sort of dew and sap. But it came every day. On the day before the Sabbath, they had to collect enough for 2 days, and it satisfied their physical needs. And what Christ is doing in the reading that we've had this morning from John is having a go, criticising those who followed him just because he had satisfied their physical needs. He'd given them bread, literally. In the feeding of the 5,000, which had taken place just before what we read this morning, Christ had provided enough food for there to be 12 baskets left over. And the people follow Jesus at this stage simply because they've seen him provide food, and they want him to continue like that. They want him to be a popular Messiah. They want Jesus to work for them. The crowd are really only concerned with what Jesus can do for them in physical terms, and they are not prepared to look any further. And I think in many ways we can examine ourselves and our own motivations. Do we follow Jesus because it looks good? Because we think it's the right thing to do? Because it might give us some social standing? And if it's for any of those reasons, then clearly they're wrong. We should follow Jesus because we know that this is the true way, the right way, because we believe in him. And belief in Christ means showing that we believe through what we do, not through who we are. The crowd asked Jesus what they must do to be doing the work of God. And Jesus' reply is simple. Believe in him whom God has sent. And of course, the crowd, being ordinary people, ask for proof. And in John's Gospel, Jesus gives signs rather than performs miracles. And I know Matt went into that 2 or 3 weeks ago when we looked at different sorts of road signs and things like that. But it's the signs that point the way to Jesus. Now, the crowd have already seen, or if not seen, they must have heard of some of the signs that Jesus has already performed. They must have seen or heard of the amazing sign of Jesus turning the water into wine at the wedding of Cana. They might have heard or seen of the healing of the official's son. They might have heard or seen of the healing of the man at the pool of Bethsaida. 3 signs which precede the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel. And they point the way to the nature of Christ and his ministry. Yes, he was there to give physical healing and to make a party go even better, but it was also about being new wine, replacing something that had got old and stale, bringing spiritual sight as well as physical sight, spiritual healing as well as physical healing. But the crowd want a sign as proof that Jesus is the one whom God has sent. And that desire for proof, as I've said, is a human thing, isn't it? And it continues throughout the gospel, right up to Jesus' crucifixion, when the crowd mock him and say, "Show us that you're who you say you are. Come down off the cross, save yourself." It's proof that's required by the man that we call Doubting Thomas, when he wanted actual physical proof of the resurrection. The crowd want a demonstration of supernatural power from Jesus, which would give an indication that Christ had the same source of power that they had read about, for example, with Moses. But Christ doesn't want to produce magic tricks just to make things easy for us. If we think about the temptations, all three of Jesus' temptations were about having an easy and obvious way to attract his followers. And again, turn stones into bread. Satisfy people's physical needs. Then they'll follow you. Throw yourself from the temple. You know, if somebody sees you being saved by doing that, of course they'll follow you. Worship the devil. Use military ways. Of course people will follow you if they're frightened of you. Christ wanted people to follow him, though, because of what he said, rather than what he did. So the crowd asked for this sign. If Christ is from God, then so was Moses, and Moses had provided his people with bread. If Christ is a new prophet, then he should be able to do the same or even better. But Jesus is quick to point out that it wasn't actually Moses who gave the people in the wilderness their bread, but it was God. And he goes on to say that God continues to give bread. It's not something that happened once in the past, but it continues to happen. Jesus says, the bread of God is that which comes down and continues to feed the world. And Christ is that bread. The crowd had been physically satisfied the day before, and now Christ invites them to take spiritual bread available through him. Because God is a constant giver, and Christ is our real spiritual food. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body." The bread is a symbol of Jesus' body. And when we take the bread at our Holy Communion service, we are becoming part of Christ's body. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes how the Jews ate supernatural food and drank supernatural drink in the wilderness. But the real provider of that food and drink was God. So when we eat and drink at the Eucharist, we are doing so because God has provided us with that food in the person of Christ. Jesus says that he is the bread which came from heaven, the bread of life. The bread of life is he who has life in him. Therefore, those who feed upon the bread will have eternal life through the bread. And Jesus makes the people think again of Moses. The people in the wilderness who ate that bread, that manna, became hungry again. They had to go out the next day and collect some more. But life isn't just about the physical things that keep us going, but about the spiritual bread given through Christ. If we eat the living bread, then we are united in Christ in two ways. By believing in his sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection, and by living our lives as he requires us to live. Christ makes himself available to us through his sacrifice on the cross. And the bread of life could only be given to us through that. It's available as true nourishment for those who believe in the word of God. Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him." So we can participate in this spiritual bread because of Christ's death and sacrifice, but more importantly, because of the resurrection. And that requires our faith. If Christ is the bread of life, that spiritual bread, our faith must look beyond the physical to the spiritual. We mustn't become like the Jews in the wilderness, constantly needing physical things, things we can see, in order to believe, or like the crowd following Christ just to see the next miracle and then we might believe. We should focus our faith on Christ, on the bread of life, and aim to eat that bread and gain eternal life through our faith in Christ. Amen.